Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick. And more now from our ongoing coverage of the opioid crisis in America. We get a different perspective on the problem now, different than one you may have heard and one that might be controversial.
The vast majority of people who use heroin are not addicted. Less than 10% of the people who are prescribed these medications become addicted. So the addiction rates are not out of control.
That is Dr. Carl Hart. He's chairman of the psychology department at Columbia University in New York and author of High Price, A Neuroscientist's Journey of Self-Discovery That Changes Everything You Know About Drugs and Society. Hart disagrees with what many experts have said on this show, that opioid abuse is an addiction crisis. He wrote recently that people aren't dying because of opioids, but because of ignorance. Carl Hart also says America is repeating a misguided track record of punishment for black and brown drug users. I spoke to Carl Hart about how he thinks America should tackle opioid deaths and why he says we've been doing it all wrong.
What happens and what has happened in other sort of drug crises or epidemics is that most of the money goes to law enforcement. And then that sets us up into this sort of frame where we actually now have racial discrimination in our drug law enforcement. This has happened not only in this situation, it's currently happening now, where we know that 80% of the people who are arrested for opioid-related crimes at the federal level are black or Latino. Now, this isn't new. This has happened since 1914 when we passed our first drug laws. It happened in 1937 when we got crazy about marijuana or cannabis. It happened in the 1960s and 70s in New York State. We passed the Rockefeller drug laws in response to that opioid crisis. 80 to 90% of the people arrested there were black and brown people. It happened in 1986 when we got crazy about crack cocaine. Same sorts of things happened then that are happening now. And it gives us, or it provides an opportunity for us, to be racist in our drug law enforcement. And that's precisely what happened. And it doesn't solve the problem. That's the major thing.
Now, somebody's going to turn around on the law enforcement side and say, Dr. Hart, wait, things are different now. Congress is serious about criminal justice reform. President Trump proposed a massive expansion in drug courts, right? Judges sending people to treatment, not to jail, for using. Then they might say to you, well, now we view criminal justice differently. That's not going to happen this time.
Yeah. So remember, the vast majority of people who use opioids do not need treatment. And so if you're putting more money into treatment, that's not the most important aspect. And then when we talk about drug courts are a bad idea in part because they don't focus on the behavioral interests. What they care about is that you have a clean urine. Drug court pretends that the behavior of interest is the drug use, and it's not. The behavior of interest is how well people are behaving in our society.
We've had a lot of similarly situated experts like you come on the show and say the problem is addiction. The problem is the strength of these drugs at the synapse in the brain, highly addictive, that gets you hooked, and then all the problems spring from that. Talk to me about what you see as the practical approach, or is your argument that this isn't as big a problem as people think and we should be focused elsewhere?
Whenever someone is talking to you about addiction in the brain, they are intending to distract you because at the moment there is no biological substrate or mechanism that differentiates someone who is addicted versus someone who is not addicted. There is no biological difference or mechanism that we can point to, number one. Now, when we think about people being addicted, that's a real concern for me. But we must keep in mind that the vast majority of people who use opioids, whether it's heroin or whether it's OxyContin, are not addicted. So that tells you one thing. It tells you that the problem cannot be the drug itself. Now it helps us to look at, well, what are the problems? We know that the people who are more likely to be addicted are white, male, in rural areas, co-occurring psychiatric illnesses or pain problems. We know these sorts of things. They are unemployed or underemployed, uninsured or underinsured. Those sorts of things help us to guide our treatment.
Okay, so then go from that argument then to what I think is your argument that the better approach to this problem, which is not an epidemic in your view, is to look at the social context and the social construct around inappropriate use of opioids.
Absolutely. When we look at the social contact, we think of the person as a holistic person. We're better able to treat drug addiction in general, whether it's the opioids specifically or drug addiction in general. We can look at, for example, arguably the most effective treatment in the United States is methadone. We also have now buprenorphine. All of those two treatments, they are inclusive of the entire person. We make sure that they get the therapy that they need, and we make sure that these other sort of psychosocial issues are dealt with.
Okay, so sometimes when I have people like you, Dr. Hart, on this show, I like to give them a magic wand. And you get to take it to Congress, let's say. You get to do whatever you want and convince them to do it. What's your wish?
If it was up to me, the first thing I would do is separate the issues and make sure we focus on what's important. And the most important issue for me, as we think about this opioid crisis that we're calling it, are the deaths. And one thing that we know is that the majority of these people are dying because they combine opioids with another sedative. And so I would have public service announcements warning the public not to combine opioids with another sedative, one. Another reason that people are dying is because they are using opioids that may be tainted with something like fentanyl or contains only fentanyl, which is a lot more potent than the other opioids, and people are dying as a result. So I would set up free drug purity testing sites that are anonymous, where people could submit samples of their drugs and then get a chemical analysis breakdown of what's in that sample. These sort of anonymous drug purity centers are set up in places like Spain, places like the Netherlands, like Belgium. This has been going on in those places, and they're keeping their citizens safe. Those are the first two things I do. When it comes to drug treatment, I would make sure that people who are using drugs get what they need in supervised or monitored facilities, just like they do in places like Switzerland. But I would make sure that they also have adjunctive therapies like social workers, like psychologists, and all of those sorts of things. So that means that we might actually have to administer heroin to people who are addicted to heroin. The goal is to keep people safe, number one, productive, and happy.
Boy, I'm glad you have a magic wand, Dr. Hart, because I'm a senator and no bill that I'm going to vote for is going to encourage and enable the use of dangerous drugs like heroin.
Well, I have to call that like it is. I'd be like, you are ignorant when you say things like dangerous drug like heroin, when in fact, heroin is essentially the same drug as morphine. And we give morphine to folks who are in chronic pain. And heroin is an approved medication in parts of Europe. And so I think that's precisely the problem. We have a number of ignorant people in control of our policy in the United States. And it is driving many of us who are not ignorant bonkers.
Dr. Carl L. Hart, Chairman of Psychology at Columbia University, also author of High Price, A Neuroscientist's Journey of Self-Discovery that Challenges Everything You Know About Drugs and Society. Thanks for the challenge, Dr. Hart.
Thank you for having me, Todd.
My name is Liz Ritter. I lived in Washington Heights in the 80s and the 90s. And at that time, for the most part, black and brown people were given long prison sentences for using crack cocaine. But white boys on Wall Street were getting off with a slap on the wrist if they even got that.
My name is Don. I'm calling from Charlotte, North Carolina. The crack epidemic was much more stringent, much more severe, because it was black people that were mostly involved. Now you got a whole lot of white people abusing opioids, so it's no big deal. It's another example of racism.
Your views on drugs in America. You can call us, 8778-MY-TAKE. You can always join the conversation on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.